Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm a mentor, four times author, leader of my Bold Darling Mastermind for female entrepreneurs, retreat host, and I've gotten to host this podcast for 5 years. As with all of my work, this show is to serve female entrepreneurs who want to optimize their energy and their mindsets in order to build the businesses and lives of their dreams. I've walked this entrepreneurial path for 11 years now, and I can tell you that there is a way to have a business you love and still have the space and time for all the other parts of your life that make you, you. Whether your number one priority right now is to scale your business, upgrade your finances, rediscover yourself, find more energy, get more organized, reconnect with yourself, or build a life and or business that's more aligned for you, or all of the above, I am here as your guide on the show to help you make it a reality. Listen in on my dulcet Irish tones as I share tales from the front line of my business and mentoring, behind the scenes insights on how I'm approaching life and business, and speak with brilliant expert guests. Search The Lorraine Murphy Show wherever you get your podcasts. A new episode drops every Friday. Subscribe to make sure you always catch the freshest episodes. Let's dive in to this week's show. Hello. Welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. I am so excited to bring you my conversation with this week's guest. Now, before I tell you all about her, I want to remind you that I'm hosting a free Get Shit Done Masterclass. It's happening this coming Tuesday, the 25th of June. I'll pop a link in the show notes for you to register, or you can just go to lorrainemurphy.com.au/GSD. Also, I want to let you know that I am coming to Melbourne. I'm hosting my Bold Brilliant Strategy Retreat on the 31st of July. I'm so excited to be back in Melbourne. It's been so many years, and to have a really, really special group to do this work with. Just also want to remind you, early bird ticketing for this event ends on the 30th of June. So you want to get that one booked pretty soon if you're coming. And also, my Bali retreat is happening again the third week in October. Obviously coming up to end of financial year. So quick reminder that my retreats are tax deductible, if that helps tip you over the line into joining me this time around. So excited to do this again. I've got so many insights from running it last time, some extra bells and whistles I'm going to add, some special surprises for this group coming up in October. So lots of exciting stuff coming up this year. I am loving this year in my business, if you haven't noticed. All right, this week's guest. So I'm so excited to introduce you to Lisa Burling. So Lisa and I have been working together. She was in my very, very first mastermind 7 years ago. So we have kind of dipped in and out over the last few years together, and we've worked together now for the last 2 years in my Magnificence program. And she has got such an incredible story. She's an award-winning businesswoman. She's a fellow of the Public Relations Institute of Australia, a degree qualified journalist, and a published author. She's got over 20 years of PR experience working on some of the world's biggest brands and companies in Australia, the UK, and Europe. She founded her agency. It was called LBPR. She's recently rebranded to Grass is Greener Group. She started 11 years ago, and she's also the founder of her recent startup, Mabel's World, which is what we're going to mostly talk about in today's conversation. We speak about the huge, huge, huge obstacle that faces most entrepreneurs, and it's the fear of starting something new. This is the number one reason I have experienced that people do not start that business or write that book or pursue that project. It's the fear of starting something new. And I think Lisa's story is really interesting because this isn't her first time starting something new. It's her second entity, but there's a whole world of fear that is also attached with that, which we dive into in our conversation. I'm really excited to bring you this conversation. We cover a lot, including the idea of failing in public, how she has used journaling to overcome self-doubt, and the birth, so to speak, of Mabel's World and how it came to be. I'm going to bring on my conversation now with Lisa Burling from Mabel's World. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the Lorraine Murphy Show.
Hi, Lorraine. Thanks for having me. Long-time listener and now a guest.
I know. Because I mentioned this to you on one of our mentoring sessions a while ago, and I was like, how have you not been on the show yet? Like, how? How have you avoided me until now?
We've been busy doing other things.
Oh, I'm really, really excited to have this conversation today because, as you know, you came and spoke at my Bold Brilliance event in Sydney in February. And then we also, because you're a part of my Magnificence program, when we went on retreat recently, we did a knowledge sharing and you spoke something similar to what you spoke about at the event in February around the, you know, the fear of starting something new. And you think that because it's your second time starting something, that it would be easy. So I thought it was such a powerful subject. And I know that it really, really resonated with everyone in the room on both occasions. So I'm excited to have this chat with you today. Thank you.
Oh, me too. I can't wait. I'm excited to share what I've learned. And there's lots.
Yeah. As always, love. Okay. So would you mind just to, for everyone to get to know you, share a little bit about your, I guess, your background, like your story till now, as people are hearing you today?
Very happy to. And obviously I'm so young. It's quite short.
Yeah.
Not true. But obviously. Yeah. So look, in a nutshell, I think everything I've done professionally has the common thread of a love of words. Mm. So I was very clear when I left high school that I wanted to be a journalist, and I was the girl doing work experience at every opportunity at the local paper and TV station. I went off to university in Bathurst, did the comms degree there, majoring in broadcast journalism. And when I came out of that, I worked for a little while as a local TV journalist at Prime News here in Wollongong.
I did.
I don't know where those tapes are, hopefully burnt. But I realized quite quickly that I really at heart am a storyteller. And so when you work in broadcast journalism in particular, if you think about the TV news, they very rarely use words. Everything is done through pictures. So I was like, this isn't for me. And I segued quite quickly into a public relations career, which actually was perfect. I worked at the Children's Hospital in Sydney as my first ever job as a PR assistant. And I just fell in love with the opportunity that came with working in a field like that. So many different topics and things that you could really attach yourself to that made a difference, like the Children's Hospital. And it was a career that actually led me overseas. I lived in London for 12 years. I actually built my PR career predominantly over there. I wasn't pulling beers and I did travel, but I was very clear, you know, for, you know, the industry that I'm in and that you are in, you know, what better place to cut your teeth? So, you know, working on global pan-European PR programs with some of the best in the business, and it was wonderful. But then, you know, like a lot of women, I get that kind of knock internally that it's time to come home, your biological clock's ticking, all those things, and people asking you, when are you going to settle down? And I promise I will never say that to anybody. But I came home and I continued my PR career, but I also became a mum. And the father of my children was living in Wollongong, where my family's from. So my career in big cities like Sydney and London suddenly became quite small. And by the time my second son was born, I really was sort of not doing what I thought I would in terms of the heights that I expected professionally. And as it turned out, the father of my boys left not long after my second son was born. And that was the catalyst for setting up my own business, my PR consultancy, LBPR, which is now 11 and a half years old.
Wow.
I can't believe it. But yeah, that, you know, I'm an unexpected entrepreneur and business owner. It was never on my vision board. It wasn't something I thought of, but I wanted flexibility when my children were growing up and expected that I would do that as a single mom. And I also really wanted to flip the switch on the view of a single mom that you know, you couldn't go on and achieve things you wanted to professionally in that situation. So I did. And yeah, LBPR has gone on to be and do things that I would never have imagined, you know, recognized as one of the best in the business by our industry. We work with clients all over Australia and New Zealand and sometimes beyond. Yeah. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be talking to you about something else that's going to happen. So yeah, I'm a wordsmith through and through, Lorraine, as you know.
Yes, I love that. What a beautiful story and so beautifully put as well. So you've mentioned that you have an agency which you've had for 11 and a half years. And as you and I have been working on together through our mentoring for, well, last year and this year, we've been talking about how to this new entity that you were creating. So would you mind sharing what that is?
Oh, I was just so excited. So the new entity, and I must say that this is something that you co-birthed with me in a session we had together in Sydney for the day. It's called Mabel's World. And Mabel's World is essentially everything that I love packaged up into a business. And it is centered around the strapline of the love of words, which again, we birthed together. And it comprises book coaching. I'm a published author, as you know. I've self-published. I've been published by a major publisher. So I step into those kind of coaching shoes with sort of well-armed with what it takes to actually get a book from manuscript and onto shelves. It's book clubs for people that love to read and people that perhaps have lost their flow and wish they could get back into it. You know, I'm a busy mum of two, I get it. So that's a really exciting part. There's a pen pal club. So growing up, had a pen pal from Canada, and her name's Rainey. We still communicate more email than written letter now, although that might change with Mabel's world, but really helping people to connect on an emotional level through something like letter writing, which, let's be honest, is a bit of a dying art. There's merch. Oh my gosh, there's merch. I'm so excited about the merch.
I've never had a mentee who hasn't even launched their business yet give me so much merch. It's really impressive.
And we will cover that, but doing something like that was super critical to getting this business off the ground. So yeah, and there's the podcast Mabel's World. So, and journaling, sorry, I keep forgetting there's so many things, and journaling, journal practice. So there'll be online courses related to all of those things. Yeah, it's an evolving business that feeds off the response from the people who are following along. And I'm so blessed that there's a lot of them already. But yeah, it's little Lisa just in her element. And you can see I'm in my library now. This is where heaven is for me on earth.
Yeah, love. And obviously it's required time, money, energy for you to go and create Mabel's World. How have you set up here? And I know there's probably quite a few business owners listening who are running their own successful businesses. But there's almost like this little, I like to call them like soul whispers. There's a little whisper there that's calling them to create, not necessarily to close down and burn down their existing businesses, but in addition to run some kind of a soul-led side hustle. So what have you done to enable you to have that, as I said, the time, the space, the money, the energy to actually go and create? Because startup energy, like, it requires a lot to get something started. It's, you know, it's like birthing a baby. Like, there's a lot of energy required to do that. So how have you managed to set up your existing business or your first business to enable you to do that?
It's a really great question, Lorraine. And I feel a little bit Jekyll and Hyde sometimes in terms of, you know, business, because the two entities are very different and they require a very different energy and a different focus. So I guess just to backtrack a little bit, you know, one of the reasons that I had to recognize Mabel's World and make it happen was exactly what you've said. It felt like a calling from deep within. And I think I'm, you know, preaching to the converted in terms of your listeners when I say that. I will often say, and I have said this to you, that, you know, my PR and marketing communications consultancy is what I do, and Mabel's World is who I am. And anyone who's read Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert will understand what I'm saying when I say that, you know, ideas are hanging around us all the time. They're floating above our heads. And it's our job to recognize the ones that are for us and to pull them in and bring them to life for hopefully the greater good, you know, of the world we live in. So I really started to feel a strong push to birth it. It's exactly the right word. Yeah. And it became so loud that I couldn't ignore it. And I knew there would be deep regret surrounding not taking the leap. If I didn't do it, I would look back and go, far out, you know, what an opportunity missed. Or even worse, I would see somebody else doing it.
Oh my God, that would be so much worse. Yes. That was such a rocket up my ass starting the Remarkables Group, my first business. Like, the fear of what if someone does this before me? Yeah.
Exactly. So look, in terms of what I've done to make it happen, I guess the first thing I had to do was create the space. And, you know, in terms of my week, it's very busy. You know, I have two boys, they've got extracurricular activities. I, you know, have got a very successful agency that requires a lot of time. So one of the analogies that I use is, you know, for a long time, my agency was the tail wagging the dog rather than the dog wagging the tail. And I'm, you know, I'm a people pleaser. I like to make sure people are happy, and I want my team to feel nurtured and my clients to, you know, be super happy that they've chosen to work with us. But sometimes that meant that actually I came last and I would be working all the hours that God send. You know, I've had burnout, all of those things. I thought, hang on a minute, there's got to be a better way to do this. So I guess against what would be a typical approach to a business of where I'm at in terms of the number of years I've been running it and the opportunity, I decided to downsize. I downsized my team to two other senior players. I resigned some clients that weren't serving us. I was very clear on who I wanted to work with and who I didn't. And I've been around long enough to know you let the ones go that aren't for you, and the ones that are for you will find you. I really got clear on what my role within the business was. So again, I'm probably a little bit of a strange one in that I like to run the business, but I like being in it. Back to the fact I love words. You know, I like to write. I like doing strategy. I don't mind jumping in Canva and doing, you know, some graphics. So that's where I get my buzz. So it was making sure that I had time to do those two things, run it and be in it. And ring fencing a day a week, that was just for Mabel's World. So a day that would keep the wheels turning, because again, if you see it as a side hustle, or as I've said to you, a flight of fancy, it will get lost and it will just stop.
Yeah, it's almost like if you treat it like that, that's exactly what you will create.
Exactly. And, you know, with you putting some financial targets around it, just creating that clarity about what it was and actually putting it into a traditional business framework made a huge difference to the way that I approached it. So, yeah, making the room for it mentally and physically. I also have a different space where I work for Mabel's World.
Yeah, I love this. Yeah, can you explain this?
Yeah. So I actually work in my library for Mabel's World, which is where I am now. I use a different computer. So I have an Apple Mac. I have a separate laptop for my other business. I have scents that remind me, as in smells that remind me of Mabel's World. I use a different notepad and pen. So it's all very segregated. It's like I step into Mabel's World when I'm doing that. And I have an obligation to Mabel to bring this to life. And I am a woman of extremes, and you know this, but I have a tattoo on my wrist that was inspired by Holly Ringland's book, The House That Creativity Built, where she talks about writing The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart. And one of the things that kept her going through that process was that Alice can't exist without her. If she doesn't put pen to paper or finger to keypad, there's no Alice. And that really resonated for me. So I actually have tatted on my arm, Mabel can't exist without you. And it's on my right hand, so I see it constantly. So yeah, that's been a big one. I look down, I'm like, oh, okay, she can't exist without me. Keep going.
So if people don't want to go quite as far as getting an actual tattoo, they could get some kind of like a temporary tattoo maybe.
Yes, maybe. Some kind of henna.
But it's so beautiful. Obviously, I've seen it in person. It's a beautiful tattoo.
Thank you. Yeah, it's special to me. And that's what tattoos ultimately should be, something that means something to you.
Yeah. So tell us about we've kind of touched already on like the analogy of you starting Mabel's World as being like a birth. How long has it been simmering and how did you eventually start to bring it into the world? Can you just step us through almost like the process? Because as I said, I know there's going to be quite a few listeners who are listening to this right now going, oh my God, I get it. Like I've got this idea that just, I can't shake it. Like it won't go away. And I don't know if I've ever talked to you about, what's the author? They're like Japanese style books, but one of Lexi's little friends, like as in when she was born, gave Lexi a book. It's called What Do You Do With an Idea?
Oh, I've not read that one.
Oh, you need to, it's so relevant for you at Mabel's World. And then we bought What to Do with a Problem and What to Do with, what's the third one? I can't remember. But anyway, it's like this graphic of like this little boy and it's like his idea is there and it's just following him around and it's annoying him. And then as soon as he starts to give the idea some attention, like you can see in like the illustrations, the idea starts to grow and it's golden and it like casts all this beautiful light around. It's really, really beautiful. But can you talk people through the birthing process for Mabel's World?
Yeah, sure.
Like a timeline almost.
Yeah. So look, Mabel's World, unnamed until earlier this year, has been in my heart and my head for, I would say, close to 3 years. It's a long time, but then it isn't when I consider that actually what I'm doing is my life's work. So, you know, the timelines are quite different for this entity and they're driven by me rather than, you know, an external client. So I think I started with the question, what if? And what if is such a powerful thing to ask yourself. So what if I created a business or created an entity that could make me money doing the things that I love? Because the reality is running my agency, I enjoy it, but it's not a deep love. You know, it is my job. Mabel's World and all of those things, I get a deep enjoyment. It's visceral, the feeling that I have. Mm. And so I started to play with the idea that it was possible. And I looked around and I'm, you know, always watching, was anyone else doing this? And I couldn't find anybody that was doing all of those things at once, packaged up. Of course you can find people that are running book clubs or book coaching, but no one was doing all of it. And that it mattered because I knew whatever it was, it would be completely mine. And I think that that was also, you know, a really exciting element of it, that the sense of ownership that came with it. So I would journal about it often. And you and I have had many conversations about it. And that's the fun part when it starts to drop in. And it's almost like a watercolor, you know, maybe not a watercolor, maybe a paint by numbers. You know, things just start to solidify and you can see it and touch it. But what can happen, and it did happen to me, and why it's taken so long to get to the point where it's out there, is I had all the doubt come in. I started to think, well, don't be so ridiculous. Like, instead of saying, what if, I was saying, how can you think that you would have time to do this? How are you going to fund it? Who's going to care? You have no idea how to run a business like this. You know, you can run an agency, but this is totally different. Like, as you said, it's startup energy. Where are you going to get that from? So all of, went round and round my head about that so many times, which delayed it, I would say, by probably 2 years. But then I came back to, you can do it. You've got one life to live. It's meant to be enjoyable. What's the worst that can happen? And, you know, I have got a successful agency that's doing well. So I have got the room to start to play around a little bit, but in a serious way. It's not trivial. It's not frivolous. My hope is in the decades to come that this will be what I do solely. But yeah, it was definitely it wasn't linear. It was up and down, but there was a solid commitment to it happening in some shape or form and being open to the clues the universe was giving me and the information that I felt was being shared with me by a greater source without getting too woo-woo. Yeah.
No, I love it. I love it. We're all about the woo-woo, as you know. So when did it actually start to feel like a real business? What's the moment that you went, okay, all this thinking, all this planning, all this journaling, the kind of the back and forth, the self-doubt, when did you feel for the first time like this is real and I'm onto something here?
Two moments, actually. The first one was when Stacey, who is, you know, the amazing graphic designer that you use and has brought to life Mabel's World, when she came to me with all the visuals. I had a 20-minute conversation with Stacey, and what she came back with blew my mind. It was exactly what I had in mind. So seeing it was huge. I'm very visual. So that was like, okay, this is a thing. I'm doing it. And, you know, with someone like Stacey coming in, there's another accountability partner. So the more people that you bring in to help you birth something, the more accountable you feel. So, you know, I didn't want to waste her time. I didn't want to waste your time. And actually, I just didn't want to waste my time. So that was huge, which then led to the merch. And we laugh about it. And it is funny. Yeah. But going onto Vistaprint and producing a tote bag and, you know, this mug was another kind of, it's there. It's real. Like, you know, I have to show up for this now. It's not just in my head. People can see it. So they were huge. But the other moment was with you. Actually, when we had that day together in January.
And that's your VIP day.
You really pushed me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You pushed me to put what I was thinking into a business framework, to put financials around it, to really drill down into who the customer was. You know, we birthed the name together because it was really about sort of old school, you know, book reading and cups of tea and Mabel just fit. That was a massive moment. I know we both got goosebumps when that happened. So, yeah, and I walked out of that room thinking, okay, I'm onto something. And, yeah, Lorraine's going to hold me accountable, which you have.
Yeah, that's so good. Can you tell them about the letter, everyone listening?
So in true Mabel's World style, I turned up to the session with you and I had written you, I think it was a 3-page letter.
This is in January, just gone. So yeah, so we had a VIP day together in January last year, which is when we birthed the idea and the name and the business, potential business framework, which actually it stayed very aligned with that actually, which is pretty cool. And then we had a day again in January for our second year of my business program together, which is when the letter enters the story.
Regular listeners of your podcast will know, or your emails, that you're a big advocate of your future self, keeping you accountable in the here and now, the future Lorraine. And I'm very much adopt the future Lisa psyche. So I wrote a letter to you that was 12 months on from that day, telling you or sharing in the joy with you of all of the amazing things that had happened in Mabel's World that year. So, you know, how many people had signed up to the book clubs, how many people had engaged in the online courses, what kind of podcast guests I'd had on, you know, speaking things that
Different products that you'd launched throughout the year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a book writing retreat that's happening in Q3, you know, and that was super fun. And what I loved about it was it just flowed out of me. I wrote that letter probably in 10 minutes. So I knew that there was clarity internally. It just had to get through all the naysayers in my head. But yeah, that was huge.
Yeah, your inner mean girl, as Melissa Ambrosini would call it.
I'm looking forward to reading that letter again in 12 months, see what's happened.
Yeah. Yeah, so smart. I love it. It's not dissimilar to at the end of my Bali retreat last year, I asked each of the group to write a letter to themselves, their future selves, but in the moment, almost like capturing, encapsulating how they were feeling and their beliefs about themselves and how that had shifted. It was on the last morning of the retreat, you wrote these letters. And then just over the following months, like I've still got a few to send. Like I just, that person pops into my head and I just pop the letter in the post. So yeah, it's a lovely thing to do. It's a really nice accountability tip, but also a visioning tip. It makes things real for you.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. I love that you did that for your Bali.
Yeah. Oh, it's so special. I've got it. Yeah, I'll post a couple more tomorrow. So nothing worth doing ever comes easy. Maybe that's a limiting belief of mine, but you know, it does require, even if the lack of ease is the self-doubt or creating the time to create something or whatever it might be. What are the blocks that you've experienced in creating Mabel's World?
Biggest block has been mindset. And that probably sounds quite dull, to be honest, because, oh, it's mindset, but it truly is. This process has taught me so much about how our brains can hinder our progress. And, you know, we know our brains are wired to protect us. You know, they're here to make sure that no harm comes to us. So anything new, your brain is automatically going to go, don't do that. No. Why would you do that? There's no, what if you did that? It's like, why would you do that? You've got, you know, a successful business already, your time poor. Why would you add that to the mix? And I think sometimes it's, you know, you've got to just challenge that, because not every decision is logical. Sometimes it makes no sense at all in the moment, but
yeah,
it does make sense. And in retrospect, you look back and go, wow, you know, that really, really did make sense. So mindset has been huge. And I have found journaling to be such a useful tool to get out all the negative self-talk and then redirect it towards the positive. That, you know, has been amazing. And I often will have conversations with myself like a crazy lady, or I'll say, stop, I'm not listening to that anymore. We're on to something. We can't stop. It's like the train's left the station now. We're doing this and we're going to trust that it's what we should be doing, because it feels good. It feels right. When I set up my first business, who would do that? I mean, who would set up a business with two children, one literally out of hospital as a preemie? Nobody, but it just felt right. And so I'm applying exactly the same principles in this next sort of phase of my professional career where I'm juggling the two.
Yeah. So when you say, I'm always curious on this. So when you say that journaling has really helped you to navigate those mindset blocks, how so? Like, have you answered specific journaling prompts? Have you kind of written down what you're thinking and just you read back and go, oh my God, I sound crazy. Just step us through, how do you use journaling as a tool in that sense?
So I have used it to, I guess, sort of just free flow, right? So when I have found negative thoughts coming up, I will write them down. And then I will look at them and almost write a rebuttal. So, you know,
almost like debate yourself.
Correct. Which sounds crazy, It's like, you know, if my brain says you don't have the time to do this, that's ridiculous. Then my inner self will say, well, thank you, brain, for that input. But actually I do have time, and this is how I'm going to make it work. And then it's like, okay, well, that's done. You know, we move on now. We're not going to have that conversation anymore. All two of us in my head.
Yeah, so good. I love it. And it's very much aligned. I know you and I are big fans of the book Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. I'll pop that title in the show notes as well for everyone. It's an absolute must read, I think, for anyone, but particularly if you are already or you want to create something in the world, whether it's a business or a work of art, whatever it might be. And she talks about like the fear of when she's writing, you know, that absolute resistance Stephen Pressfield would talk about in his book, Do the Work, that resistance that comes up. And she says, you know, how she manages it is she turns to the fear and says, okay, fear, I see you, but you're not needed right now. And it's a way of like acknowledging the fear and then putting it in its box so she can get on with her creative endeavor, which is obviously writing mostly for her. And something similar I actually did, I was just thinking when you're talking about that journaling and that debate yourself, I've got these kind of portable whiteboard sheets that I can, they just stick by static up on the wall of my office. They're so good. when I was doing about to start my Bold Darling launch in March, I made a list of the 10 reasons that this is going to be my best launch ever. And it was almost like my own little pep talk to myself. But it was really cool because it was just to my right, sitting here at my desk now, it was just on that wall. And this, whenever I kind of got into, oh God, you know, numbers aren't where they are, or I should be doing more, I just look at me and go, oh, okay. Yeah. So love that. Thank you. Any other blocks of experience that you want to share?
The other thing I should point out, just with journaling, another thing that I found myself doing was actually like writing down what was going to go in the business and the really big, hairy, audacious goals, which, you know, I've shared with you that are huge. But that was also a clue that I was onto something. And the great thing about journaling, Lorraine, and you know this, is if you put dates on when you're writing things, you can look back and in a year's time go, oh my gosh, like that's where my head was at. Look where I'm at. It gives you permission to celebrate yourself and what you've achieved. You know, I love it when I open my journal and I haven't been in it for a week and I've put something in like, I'm just about to go off and do X and I'm a little bit frightened about it. For example, going on a retreat with you. And then I come back in a week and I write, oh my gosh, it was amazing. And you're like, oh wow, that's really, really cool.
Yeah, so good. And you actually, that's such a beautiful segue onto the next thing that I wanted to talk to you about. So you've obviously started Mabel's World. It's very new. It feels like as your mentor, there's a lot of new in your world this year, like last year, but definitely this year, it's really up the ante somewhat in terms of the newness. And you just touched on, for example, you had never been on a retreat before. You said to me, you're quite nervous about going on a retreat. You're very introverted, which I, you know, I understand because I am too. And we went on this retreat to the Central Coast. And I mean, yeah, it was just so beautiful to see you have the experience that you had because you just loved it. You were so happy. We spent the first part of our mentoring session one-on-one this week, you telling me how much you loved it and all the different things you loved. So do you think there's something in that, you creating something new, that new thing being Mabel's World, almost like, you know, when you attract new type thing, do you think there's something in that?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. You know, when you step outside of, you know, the world that you know, and the world you know is still there, you know, and it's important and it gives you the anchor and the grounding. But I think exploring in my heart and my mind Mabel's World has given me the confidence to do things that I would probably have shut down and gone, I'm not a retreat person, for example, would be the story I would tell myself.
That's not for me.
And what I found was that it actually is me, which is, you know, the what if I went on the retreat? Same sort of questioning. And off I go.
Yeah.
And I walk away from that with five new best friends and a bigger connection with you. A group of people that embrace not only me, but Mabel's World wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And we're so excited for it. It was really lovely to see you experience that excitement first, you know, in person, firsthand.
It was so great. And that validation at this point and along all points when you're setting up something new is so important, particularly from people that you value and you admire and who are doing things that you're, you know, impressed by, which all of these women are. So I learned, big lessons. And so I think that's such a valid point, Lorraine, that, you know, we talk about something new in business, but anybody running a business can't separate it from who they are. And it does give you, you know, the confidence that, you can do other things. And I did not go in my room once. Like I sat by that fire the whole time. I was more social than I've ever been. So maybe there's an extrovert in here after all.
Because that was the coping strategy. Yeah, you and I were talking about it. I said, you know, you've all got your own room. You can just go to your room and just decompress. And, you know, a restorative niche as, I can't remember her name, who wrote the book Quiet, you know, the...
Oh, yeah, I know the book. I can't remember her name either.
Yeah, the book is called Quiet. It's a really, really brilliant book. I loved it years ago. But yeah, it's a restorative niche. It's like, you know, you can have your restorative niches. And then because we had the fire going, like pretty much for the whole retreat, it was so beautiful. Yeah, you were just in your seat. It was like your throne. And the whole group, you know, similar. And I remember I walked into the room at like 6 p.m. one evening and you were all sitting there reading books. I got you all a glass of champagne and you're just sitting there in such beautiful... I think someone said, oh, like, sorry, we're not even talking to each other, to me. And I said, this is amazing. You know, the fact that you... I think it's such a measure of how comfortable you feel with someone when you can sit in silence with them. You know, that beautiful, companionable... I don't have to be on silence. It was really special.
That was the most amazing moment of the retreat. And there were lots of them. But I think what that did for Mabel's World is it showed me that there are people who are like me and that this is what it could look like if I decided to do my own retreat. And just the joy I felt knowing that each of us were there physically together and felt very comfortable, but we were all in different stories. So I was in Tasmania and someone else was in Romania and someone was in London.
Yeah, Brooke was eating the Marion Key. She was in Ireland. Yeah.
I was like, wow, isn't that just amazing? So yeah, it was absolutely brilliant.
And I think I told you, I posted an Insta story of, yeah, you all like sitting there by the fire with your books, drinking champagne on a winter evening. And at least three women messaged me and all they said was heaven in reply to that story. So yes. Yeah, there's so much in what you're creating with Mabel's World.
Thank you.
And how's Mabel's World going? So we're a few months into it being kind of officially in the world, because it was official in February, was it? You actually started to talk about it publicly?
Yeah, I did.
So around the time of the Bull Brilliance event.
Yes. And I, you know, I'd set up the social media handles and had the URL up. The website wasn't up, but the sign up to stay abreast of what's happening in Mabel's World was. So it's been so interesting. And I guess I've tried to adapt a real openness to how it's going to unfold and flow. There's definitely a structure there, but unlike my agency where I've done it for such a long time, I can predict a lot of things. I know what I'm dealing with. There's a real kind of well-oiled machine mentality to that. Mabel's World has a very different flow, which you alluded to earlier. You know, it's very different energy. So I had anticipated that I would find people would want to come in and get some free things and then maybe sign up for, you know, a short online course or, you know, start slow.
Yeah, like start small, start low and then go up.
Yeah. And what's been very interesting, and I know you have found this as well, is that I've actually found that people are coming in at the top. They want to be book coached. You know, there's a lot of women with a lot of stories that they are bursting to tell, but don't quite know where to start. So I'm really in it at the moment on, you know, my Mabel's World Day, coaching women to birth books. And I adore it. And you and I laugh about our aura rings. But, you know, when I'm doing that, I'm in the restored state. I'm really like in such an amazing place, which again is a clue that I'm doing something that I'm meant to be doing, that I can bring something to the world. So yeah, it's often racing. It is. And I think for me, it's managing that and making sure that it still remains fun and enjoyable, because I never, ever want there to be pressure or, you know, a frustration attached to it. That's incredibly important. And I have said it to a few people that are, you know, helping me along the way. You know, the only timeframes we set are our own, and, you know, time is irrelevant in Mabel's World. So
I love that.
It's nice. It's like, okay, we didn't get to it this week. That's okay. We do it next week. You know, time's irrelevant in Mabel's World, all in good time.
Yeah. And as you said, it's the outset of this conversation. It's your life's work. You know, there's no point in rushing your life's work by a couple of weeks for like, why? It doesn't make sense.
Well, I'm only 21.
So if people want to get involved.
I've got lots of time, right? I'm only 21.
Yeah, this is also true. This is also true, Lisa. If people want to get involved with Mabel's World, how can they do that?
So you can go to www.mabels-world.com and either sign up for the newsletter, or if the site is now live, which I think it will be, you can have a great look.
It bloody better be by the time this episode goes out. That's Lorraine with her mentor hat on.
Yes.
It will definitely be live.
Sign up for letters from Mabel regardless, but have a look around. See, landing on that homepage as a passport. And just explore what's sitting in the world right now. And honestly, if anyone's got ideas that are aligned to, you know, what I've got on there, please tell me. So yeah, there'll be loads of stuff. Listen to the podcast, which will be called Mabel's World with Lisa Burling, and you'll find it on all the usual streaming services. And what else would I like you to do? Follow on socials. So it's Mabel's World Official on Instagram and just Mabel's World on Facebook.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I feel like we just did a whistle stop tour of Mabel's World. Is there anything you feel like we've missed that you'd like to pass on to listeners?
I think so. I guess what I would just like to sort of leave your listeners with is, if you do have that feeling inside of you, don't ignore it. You know, take it slow. Just start to write down what's dropping in for you. Maybe mention it to a trusted confidant and just play with it a little bit, you know, and maybe it isn't for you, and that's okay. Elizabeth Gilbert talks about that as well in Big Magic, that sometimes they're not yours, but don't discard it, because I truly believe and have seen women in particular birth the most incredible businesses that do serve them personally and feed their soul. So it's entirely possible. And if anybody listening is like, I can't do it, and they need someone to tell them they can, then contact me or you.
Let me know.
We'll set them straight.
And can we just speak to that for a second? Because actually somewhere we haven't gone and that I did mean to go with you is, you know, when you started your first business, and I remember when you shared this with the group in Sydney in February, and people were quite shocked. You know, you said that you started your first business pretty much in the intensive care unit, the NICU unit, with your second son, and there was a lot of pressure on you needing to start that business to, you know, financially support your family, essentially. And you were saying to the group that you are more scared starting Mabel's World than you are of that first business 11 and a half years ago. And people were really shocked. Could you just explain that to us, why that might be?
There's two reasons why I have found it, I guess, harder. The first one is that my agency has lots of runs on the board. It is well known as a result of that, and relatively well known in the industry. I've done, you know, a lot of marketing PR for me, which I've had to build a profile for the business, but there is a level of expectation now about what are you doing next? And that is often a question I will get asked. It's like, how's everything going? What are you up to? What's next? So when you've got some runs on the board, yeah, the playing field just changes. And so whether that's perceived or real, you know, who knows? But I really was like, God, if I'm going to put something out there, I don't want it to flop. You know, I want it to be successful, whatever success is. And I've realized actually success is me being happy and fulfilled. But, you know, there's that external factor as well that, you know.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, the first time, I mean, no one knew who you are, no offense. You were pretty much invisible. Like you were an unknown. Whereas now, you know, as where I'm interviewing you here, I can see all your awards behind you on your library shelf. Like there's a profile there. There's something to lose that you didn't have before. And I think, this is it. I was trying to remember, there's a particular question that I asked the Bold Brilliance group after your session. So Michelle Covello, another one of my Magnificence program mentees, came and spoke in a panel together. And I asked them the question that what would they, I said that there was a great quote from a guy called Dave Hollis. He sadly passed away. Now he's an author and he was married to
Rachel Hollis,
the entrepreneur and author, Rachel Hollis. And I listened to a podcast interview that he did years ago. And he said, you know, people aren't afraid of failing. They're actually afraid of failing in public. And I asked the group, if you could do anything and know that you will be safe in the knowledge that you could only fail in private with this, what would you do? And the questions, the responses to that were really powerful. It was quite a pivotal moment for quite a few in the group that day.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And then I guess the challenge is taking the answer to that and doing it publicly.
And doing it. Yeah.
So
that's where you whip your journal out and you have a debate with yourself.
Correct.
A la Lisa Burling.
Like a crazy woman, but yes. And I guess the other thing that's different is LBPR and now Grassy's Green and Marketing Communications, because I have undergone the rebrand, or I probably should clarify that. That sounds quite weird. As part of sort of making space for Mabel's World and the reconfiguration of my PR agency, we are rebranding to Grassy's Green and Marketing Communications to reflect what we actually do, which is not just sending out media releases to journalists. So, yeah. So I think back to what I was saying, you know, with LBPR and now Grassy's Green, it had to work. I didn't have a choice really financially. I was on Centrelink benefits when I started it. So there was a real kind of drive, financial drive for it to happen. The energy for Mabel's World is still a financial imperative for sure, but it's a little bit different. You know, it's the metric in terms of success are around personal fulfillment and making the world a better place by, you know, sharing a love of words and being a guardian of their existence as we move further and further into the digital age and AI. So it's a different purpose, which I'm adjusting to.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. Okay, I was wrapping up our interview, but then I really wanted to talk to you about those couple more things. Thank you for bearing with me.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much for today. I've absolutely loved this conversation. And I just really hope that people take away that, well, first of all, that it's never too late to start the new thing, even if you're 11 and a half years into your existing business, that there is still a whole world of opportunity for you to start, you know, extra things that light you up potentially in different ways. And yeah, also just to normalize the fact that it's fucking scary, like starting new things, like to your point, starting something, having already started something successful is potentially even more scary. So just to trust yourself and when that little niggle, like it just won't go away, that idea, like just to trust that and follow that, which I think is what you have done so beautifully at Mabel's World. You're a pioneer and a trailblazer in that sense. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lorraine. And thank you for all your support. You've really been, you know, a cheerleader for me and will continue to be. So yeah, I'm less scared and more excited, which is really nice.
That's a good way to be. Thank you.
Thank you.
There she is. How wonderful is she? I am so proud of her and the journey she's been on over the last few years with Mabel's World. And to see it now in the world, the website's live. It looks amazing. I'll pop a link in the show notes. So also just want to say the book, as you know, that we both raved about is Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. Highly recommend you read it. I'll pop the name in the show notes as well. To go to find out more about Mabel's World and Lisa's incredible work there, you could go to Mabel's World, MABELS-world.com. She's on Facebook, and the beautiful Mabel is also on Instagram at Mabel's World Official. Thank you so much for joining this week's episode. I really hope that if you have some fear of doing something new at the moment, that it really helped. And also quick reminder that my Get Shit Done Masterclass is coming up next Tuesday. Link for that is in the show notes, as is my Bold Brilliant Strategy Retreat in Melbourne on the 31st of July, and my Bali Retreat in October. So sending lots of love. Thank you so much again for joining this week's episode. I loved having you join me for this week's episode. Please do connect with me on Instagram at Lorraine Murphy Mentor and visit my website lorrainemurphy.com.au for tons of free resources and my reading list of all my favorite books. It would mean the absolute world if you could subscribe and share episodes you love with those that you love. Thank you for listening.